Hi guys, welcome back. I know it's been long, but I have decided to be consistent on this channel because there is a lot to talk. So without having any further delays, I would like to welcome our today's guest speaker, Damodar Shenoy, to talk about what we have with Swift 6.
Hey Gaurav, thanks for giving me this opportunity to talk about Swift. This is my most loved programming language. Today, we can discuss about the post written by Ted Kramenek, the manager of languages and runtime team at Apple. So if you already read this post, then it's fine. This is just a catch-up or summary of that post.
Okay, so if you are new, it is good to be staying tuned on this because there will be a lot of information. So yes, Damodar, let's start. Like, what are the highlights of the blog which we are going to talk about, or we wanted to talk about what we have with Swift 5 and how we are progressing towards Swift 6?
Okay, Swift 5, Swift matured or did a major milestone with Swift 5 with supporting having the ABI and module stability. That is the major thing which everyone in the community was targeting, and that was the need because this basically reduced the app size drastically. So with the ABI stability, you don't have to include the runtime libraries into the applications. So yeah, that is one major thing.
And with this, we could say like it is easy to have a stable binary modules.
Correct. And then there is a Swift package manager, which has integrated now into the Xcode and other IDEs to support cross-platform solution for building and distributing Swift libraries. So these two are the major things which I was looking forward, especially.
So when Swift 5 we were talking
Correct.
And this blog which is written, it is on the road to Swift 6. So this has highlighted some sections of the growth which they wanted to see with the Swift progressing in the future. Like some of the highlights, it has mentioned like accelerate growth of the Swift software ecosystem. So when we talk about ecosystem, what is that we are targeting? Like right now we talk about macOS, iOS platform.
Yeah, so now they have got into the like they are completed with this ABI thing, and now they want to expand the Swift ecosystem itself, so software ecosystem itself. So with this, they are targeting like accelerate the growth of the Swift software ecosystem. So they want to increase the support for number of different platforms. Now if you see watchOS, tvOS, macOS and iOS, so these are the four platforms which majorly targeted, but all of these are Apple platforms. There are no non-Apple platforms as of now. For server side Swift, there is Linux support is there, but it's pretty complicated. It's not as straightforward as
and
Apple
with this
platform.
they would like to mature Swift on the way we are like Swift can be used by multiple platforms.
Correct. So expand the number of platforms where Swift is available, then improve the software written on Swift, how we are installing and deploying the software
which like, are written in Swift.
Correct. Now correct. In Linux it might be Debian, and in this one in Windows it will be like either DLL or any other packages. So what, however they work, so how do you need to deploy it? So that
is one part, like when we talk about cross-platform things, correct? Mm-hmm. We say like we wanted to, Swift should have multiple platform support.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and we could have seen like when we develop code, we have tooling, code formatting, refactoring. This would also become a challenge when
yes.
it comes, correct?
Yes, the way we write code, how the code completing is done, how we are developing. Now you might be a Windows developer, I might be a Linux developer. So how can we make it easy for such developers to write their code in their native platform? So rather than having a Apple system.
True, this makes sense. When we talk about ecosystem and we say like we wanted to have multiple cross-platform support, we wanted to have multiple platforms in which like the Swift is available, then this also becomes a very important thing, correct? And they had mentioned in the section where they say like Swift software ecosystem, they wanted to support all these things as well.
Correct.
Yeah. And then the one more point they have mentioned is cultivating a rich open source library ecosystem. So
yes. So correct. Now if you see JavaScript, you have a library for everything. So there is Passport.js for authentication and various other things. So that's a rich ecosystem. JavaScript is a rich ecosystem. So we need something like that for Swift too. So which developers can leverage and save their time and increase their productivity.
So the second part of the blog, where like the second pointer which is highlighted, is creating a fantastic development experience. So when we talk about development experience, there are multiple things, like how you are building it, how informative your stuff is, like if you get an error, how readable it is, how responsive is your code completion, which we spoke a bit before, and then you have a debugging experience, correct? So these are the points they have mentioned, correct? When we talk about the development experience.
Yes, like we talked earlier. So for you might be a Windows developer, someone else might be a Linux developer. So for them, how to make the Swift development experience good or a fantastic experience, so they love programming in it. So this is one of the goal while moving forward to Swift. So these are crucial points, crucial things, and they represent most engineering work that is happening in the project right now. So these are the things the engineering team, Swift team, is working on.
The focusing team is focusing
on right now. Okay, next thing they also are trying to focus on is investing in user empowering language directions. So basically the goal is to make the programming simple things easy and difficult things possible. So one thing is they need they have good API sets, but they still need more expressive and elegant APIs, generics and DSL capabilities into Swift, built into the Swift. They also want to support low level systems like Rust, which supports low level, or C, you may say. So C and Rust are best programming languages for low level programming. Also support domains, important domains like services and machine learning also.
Okay.
So yeah, so these are the things they are trying to make investment on. And to support these investments, there are two additions into the core team right now as per the blog. One is Salim Abdul Rasool. So he is the primary person, primary architect, you may say, to port Swift to Windows. So
okay.
This was a major breakthrough he had done. And the other person is Tom Doron. So he's the guy behind Swift Neo and Swift Server work group. So we are seeing interesting. So these two are good additions to the core team because they have worked on things and they know their goals, or they know their mission. Let me say.
Okay, great. So this blog stays like on the road to Swift 6. So on the path, we would be seeing a succession of Swift 5x releases. So in the way, like every release will be a huge milestone in the succession release, say like 5.3, 5.4, 5.5.
Oh, you mean to say this won't be one stop at Swift 6. It will be in incremental between 5 and 6. There will be incremental updates for
I believe from the document, if I've gone through, this is what is the highlight where they wanted to create a succession of 5x releases and have targeted to the goal and have some chunk of this coming into the picture for the developer. And maybe like they won't be having like in launching these things in WWDC. So say like only in the past we have seen like it always comes as they say Swift 2 is launched, 3 is launched, 4 is launched. So they might wanted to change that as well. And this is what, so what we can do is we can quickly revise what we spoke about the blog. And anyways, I will add the link to the blog in the show note. That will be helpful. So we spoke about 3 points, which were the highlights of it. Swift ecosystem, like how they wanted to invite other platforms into the ecosystem, development experience, because once you have multiple platforms, your development experience has to be a top-notch experience. Then what investments, invest in user empowering language direction, what all they have done, like how they wanted to do the low-level system programmings and expressive and elegant APIs can be written in to that, and what they have done to support these investments. Correct. So that's it for today. I believe this is informative, and thank you Damodar for joining
us.
So I think that's it for today. So I'll see you in my next podcast. Not see you, you will hear me in the next podcast. So this is it. Please refer the show notes for any other detailed information. Bye-bye.